What I wanted to say about Gaza today is two things. One, why Gaza particularly, when there are many other bleeding wounds, why is this attention and focus on the cause of Palestine versus any other cause, any other Muslim cause in the entire world? And we do have many just causes, and we do have many bleeding wounds, but why is there more attention on the issue of Palestine? And the reason why I'm interested in answering this question is because this is a question that is very legitimate, because there is more attention on the issue of Palestine, more focus on the issue of Palestine than any other issue. And it raises a question in the minds of many people who may know the facts completely, or they may not know every single aspect of this problem or this case or issue. And this is a legitimate question to be asked by those people, and we do not deny them the right of asking this question. Therefore, we have to supply an answer that is convincing and an answer that is reasonable and rational. The second thing that I wanted to talk about is how we can plan long-term for a remedy for this disease that is afflicting the ummah, the disease of weakness, the disease of complete collapse that has afflicted the ummah within the last few centuries, in fact, not just few decades. Therefore, when we are talking about recouping, we're talking about long-term planning, not short-term planning. But let me first say quite briefly and quickly why there is more attention on the issue of Gaza. Is this because it's an Arab cause versus a non-Arab cause? And this is legitimate also to question whether it is. No, it is not because of this. And let me tell you why I think it is not because it's an Arab cause versus a non-Arab cause. One, you have another Arab country that's under occupation now, which is called Iraq. And that is the land of the Khilafah, that is the land that hosted the longest Khilafah that we ever had in our history as Muslims. Yet you do not get this much attention on the issue of Iraq as you get it on the as the issue of Palestine. It's quite clear. Yes, we do certainly feel for every Muslim country that goes into any type of hardship and any Muslim population that is afflicted by any type of hardship. But there is some difference, and we will briefly address the differences. But the issue of Iraq did not get this much attention from the Muslims like the issue of Palestine. There are two Arab cities that are called Ceuta and Melilla. These are Sabta and Melilla. These are two Arab cities in Morocco. You do not get this much. Well, first of all, many of you may have not heard of Ceuta and Melilla or the cause of these two cities. These are two cities within the mainland of Morocco, south of the Mediterranean Sea, and they are occupied by Spain. And it takes someone who is completely blind not to see that these belong to Morocco. The population is Moroccan, the within the mainland of Morocco. So Spain has nothing to do with these two cities. So it's a very just cause, it's a very obvious cause, but you don't get to hear about them, and they are two Arab cities. So there is a difference here. It's not just a matter of Arab or non-Arab, but there is a difference between Palestine and the other causes. What is the difference, and why is there a difference between Palestine and other causes? If we agree that all Muslims are equal, and if we agree that Islam, and this should be a fact that is beyond any doubt, any shade of doubt, that Islam does not distinguish between the Muslims on basis of nationality, ethnicity, race, etc., etc., then why more focus on Palestine? Number one, the focus on Palestine is because this land is different from other lands. It's not about the Palestinians per se, But this land is a different type of land. This land is the end of the Prophet's night journey, the end of his Isra, the end of his journey, or the destination of his journey of Isra, the night journey. This land is the beginning of his departure to the heavens and the ascent, Al-Mi'raj. This land hosts the third most sacred mosque for us Muslims. This land was the first Qibla. Jerusalem was our first Qibla before Al-Kaaba. This land is the land which was described by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran as the blessed land. This land is the land that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam talked about frequently, about the end of time and the strife at the end of time, and he recommended that people join Ash-Sham, and he recommended that people stand at the guarding posts in Ash-Sham to protect this ummah. So this land does have an Islamic significance that is different from any other land. Now, that does not mean that we don't care about other causes or issues, but you have to understand that there is a difference between Alexandria, Egypt, my hometown, being attacked, and Mecca being attacked. Is there a difference? Would there be a difference for me? If I am from Alexandria, Egypt, would there be a difference for me? I may be gravely concerned about my family if Alexandria, Egypt was attacked, but I will not be as outraged. I would be outraged, but I will not be as outraged as if Mecca was attacked or Medina was attacked. So there is a difference here that we have to understand with regard to the land and with regard to the cause of Islam in this land and the amount of ahadith and the amount of Nusus al-Wahi, or the text of revelation that we have regarding this issue and regarding this land. This is the first thing. The second, quickly, is the magnitude of the crime. This is not a simple occupation by a country that's far away. We know that it will leave, and it, you know, this is a matter of replacement of a nation by another nation. This is a matter of stealing the identity of a whole population. This is a matter of erasing a country off the map of the world and replacing it by another country, other people who came from Eastern Europe, like Menachem Begin, who studied at the University of Warsaw, who was born under the Russian rule. All of the Israeli cabinet, they were not indigenous, they were not from this land up until 10 years ago. All of them were people who came from other parts of the world to take this land from its indigenous people and claim that those indigenous people never existed. So it's a matter of ceding the identity of a nation. A matter of, that's worse than killing. When you steal the identity, when you steal my identity, you know, you tell me I am not Hatem anymore, that is worse than killing. So the magnitude of the crime has to do with why there is more focus here. Our hearts bleed to see Ethiopia and Somalia, but we know that Ethiopia will never be able to replace Somalia, to replace the population of Somalia. Ethiopia will never be able to erase Somalia off the map and call it Ethiopia or call it someone else. We are comfortable that this is not going to happen. There are no rational indications that would make us fear from this happening. Therefore, there is a difference between this cause and the other cause. And certainly we can talk about this a lot, but I will want to be brief because we want to see what we can do. There is also the issue of the duration of the tragedy. This is a tragedy that did not start in 1947 with the Declaration of Israel. This is a tragedy that started from the late 1800s with the influx of the Jews, who were only 30,000 people in 1880, jumped to 84,000 people in 1922 amongst 670,000 Arabs at the time, and then the jump later at the time of the partition plan to 600,000 people amongst 1.3 million Arabs. So it's a matter of a long misery for the refugees who were driven out of their homes. They were terrorized into exile. They were not driven into exile. They were terrorized into exile by massacres like the massacre of Deir Yassin, which was carried out by the Irgun militia that was headed by Menachem Begin, massacred the civilians, killed large numbers of civilians. Menachem Begin thereafter took the Nobel Peace Prize. But this is the issue here. We are talking about more than 100 years of plotting and planning and tragic events taking place in this Holy Land. Now, also if you look at the other factor, which is the urgency of doing something about this cause and about this case, because Israel does not only allow itself to take the land that it took, you know, first of all, the partition plan gave the Muslims in this land 45%, the Jews were to take 55%, despite the fact that the Muslims were double the number of the Jews, but even that, no one is asking for that anymore. You don't see anyone asking for that 45%, which is 45% of your land. This is all yours. So now you're given 45%. Now people are asking for 23%. Even that 23%, Israel keeps on building settlements within the 23% so that someone like George Bush can come and remind us that conditions on the ground have to be given consideration. Conditions of on the ground have to be given consideration means don't be even hopeful that you'll take the 23%, because there are settlements that cut up the West Bank into pieces. And in order for these settlements to be secured, and in order for these settlements to have continuity with the mainland of Israel, you make a highway that cuts through the West Bank to get to the settlements. And this highway has to be protected. So the Palestinians should not, certainly, they would be afraid that the Palestinians, who are too cruel, would attack the settlers now who came to take their lands. So we have to protect the highway, and protecting the highway will mean that the Palestinians will not be able, people are not only able to cross from one village to the next, to go from one village to the next, people are not able to walk from their house to their farm. You know, and this is how cruel it can get. You can't walk from your house to your farm. So the hour is clicking. It's clicking and it's not, or ticking and it's not in our favor. So there is a lot of urgency to do something about this case. And lastly, the issue. If you study the issue, you will find how complex it is, how many plotters and how many players took role in this orchestrated crime, the greatest crime in the 20th century, which is to erase a nation off the map. Many players took role in this crime. Many superpowers supported Israel to the point of disgust. It is disgusting how the blind support can be granted to a country that is an occupying country, that is that has waged many more wars than any other country in the past 60 years. But at any rate, if you look at the number of the players, and if you look at the plot, you will understand that this is not a simple issue. This is not a plot against this small population. It's a plot against the nation. You have to understand that Palestine is the link between the Muslims in Africa and the Muslims in Asia. You have to understand that taking over Palestine interrupts the continuity of the Muslim land. It interrupts, you'll have to take Palestine. You know, you can't, if you take Morocco, it doesn't really interrupt the country. If you take Algeria, it doesn't interrupt. If you take Iraq, it still doesn't interrupt. But you have to take Palestine to interrupt the continuity of the Muslim land. At the time Palestine was taken, this was quite significant. This was quite significant. So there are many reasons why this is an issue. This is an Islamic issue. This is an issue that needs much of our focus as Muslims, without ignoring any of the other issues or causes. The just causes, our just causes as Muslims, are not to be ignored. And we're not saying that it should be only Palestine that should be given attention, but that we're saying this is why it is mainly Palestine that is getting the attention, not only, because it should never be only. We're just saying mainly. So that's the first part. And quickly, the second part of my speech is about what we can do. What we can do, we have to first understand that what we should do has to be long term. You know, the long term plan is more important than the short term plan. Yes, we need a lot of supplication. Yes, we need a lot of donation. Yes, we need a lot of a presentation of the case, to present the case to the people, to talk on behalf of your brothers and sisters under fire, to be able to learn about the case, to communicate an intelligible message to the people of conscience, regardless of their religious affiliations, to gain supporters for the case. When we're saying to gain supporters for the case, we're not saying this because we lost hope in our ummah. We think that victory will come from outside. No, we did not lose any hope in our ummah. Our ummah never dies. Our ummah can get sick. Our ummah can get tired. Our ummah can get exhausted. But our ummah never dies and will never die, and that is Allah's promise to us. But yes, despite that, you still need supporters from people of conscience throughout the world. And the Prophet ﷺ did get into alliances with people who are non-Muslim. If they are fair-minded, and if they understand what justice means, and if they are fair-minded, you do get into these kinds of alliances with non-Muslims to support just causes. Just causes, our just causes, their just causes, any just cause there is. Because justice is Allah's will. Allah's divine will is for justice to take place on earth. So all of this is short term. This, you know, so supplication and donation and presenting the case to others and so on, this is short term. But the long term is to understand that this would have never happened to this ummah unless this ummah had reached a point of weakness that is matchless. In the history, because if the Muslims all around Gaza are incapable of getting food into the strip of Gaza or Gaza, if the Muslims in Egypt are incapable of doing this because they are prevented by their government, and the Muslims in Jordan and the Muslims in all of those Muslim countries around Gaza are not able to give a helping hand to Gaza, it shows us how weak and pathetic our condition is. And then this is something that did not happen overnight. We must understand this. Our ummah did not get there overnight. Our ummah was the most prosperous, the strongest, the most civilized for 1,000 years. Therefore, to take an ummah from the height of civilization, the height of power and strength and so on, to the bottom, it takes a few hundred years. And that's what it took. It took a few hundred years. Now, we're not saying that Tory coup we will have to take a few hundred years. We're not saying that we will not have short-term plans. We will have short-term plans to decrease our losses and to try to recoup as much as we can from the current losses. But we must have a long-term plan. And the long-term plan is not about days. It's not about weeks. It's not about months. It's not about a few years. The long-term plan is longer than this, because that's how long it took us to get here. So to recoup, I'm not saying it will be hundreds of years. It may be, Allah knows. But to recoup, we must start now, and it may take a few decades for this ummah to recoup. There is so much that is wrong with our ummah. There is so much departure from the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and there is so much departure from the principles of strength, the principles of civilization and strength. You have to understand that righteousness alone, righteousness is required. We have to be righteous and we have to repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But you need something with righteousness. You need to be able to understand the deen and implement it in a way that will bring about the revival of this ummah, the renaissance of this ummah. You see, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said a hadith that requires some contemplation on our part. He said, لَقَدْ رَأَيْتُنِي أَنْزِعُ عَلَىٰ قَلِيبٍ بِدَلْوِ بَكْرَ حتى جاء ثم جاء أبو بكر فنزع دلوا أو دلوين وفي نزعه ضعف والله تبارك وتعالى يغفر له. ثم جاء عمر فاستحالت في يده غربة فنزع حتى روى الناس وضربوا بعطن فما رأيت عبقريا من الرجال يفري فرية. I have seen myself draining a well with a bucket, and I kept on draining until Abu Bakr came, and then Abu Bakr started to drain from the well, or to get water out of the well, and he got one or two buckets out of the well, and there was weakness in him, and may Allah forgive him. And then Umar came and he took that bucket, and the bucket turned into a huge one in his hand, and he kept on bringing water out of the bucket until everyone quenched their thirst, and they even watered their camels, and they took their camels to the stables. So I have not seen a man, any man, a genius, out of all men, that can do his works. That can do his works. So why Umar? Is Umar more righteous than Abu Bakr? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. Abu Bakr is the most righteous after the Prophet ﷺ. Abu Bakr is the greatest in belief after the Prophet ﷺ. Abu Bakr is the second man in this ummah after the Prophet ﷺ. It is not Umar. It is Abu Bakr, for sure, with complete certainty. But what is this hadith about then? It is about the works that Umar did. It's about the Renaissance. It's about the establishment of the state. It's about starting ministries. It's about starting to documentation of the births and the deaths and so on. It's about starting the Barid, which is the post system within the Muslim land. It's about the conquest. It's about starting Al-Asr, which is the night. The police, to have like police throughout the Medina, spread police force throughout the Medina to monitor what's happening at night in Medina, which is called the Al-Asr, which is the night police. That's something that Umar started. It's about starting a genius system of administration that kept this Muslim nation together. In fact, the Columbia History of the World, the historians of Columbia University, they say it was genius how Umar was able to have something like a confederacy that gave enough autonomy to the nations of the open lands and give enough centricity, enough power to the central government. So enough power to the central government without tyranny, without taking away the rights of the local people. So the local people were able to govern themselves, and the central government was still capable. Therefore, what I'm trying to say is, we need to understand our deen well, we need righteousness, we need iman, but we need also to follow the principles of strength, power, renaissance, revival, that will lead us to recoup from our current tragic situation. أقول قولي هذا أستغفر الله لي ولكم فاستغفروا. الحمد لله وكفى وسلام وصلاة على عباده الذين اصطفى. My request is for each and every one to be angry with themselves. When you hear about these news that are taking place, you have to tell yourself, that's the only way. We will not acquit the victimizer of their crimes, the victimizers of their crimes. We will not. But we will blame ourselves, because you got yourself too weak. You smoked cigarettes. You drank, you did not learn, you did not seek higher education, you did not do this, so you got yourself too weak. So now anyone who can push you, you fall down to the ground. So that does not mean that someone can come and push a weak person and push them out of their home and take over their home. It does not mean that they have the right to do this, but why did I get this weak? I should blame myself. Why did they get this weak? And then when we blame ourselves, because we can always blame the ummah, blame yourself. Blame this person here. Look in the mirror. You are the problem. I am the problem. We are the problem. Let's look in the mirror. Let's see what we have done for this ummah. It is so easy to say it is all about Mubarak. It is to a great extent about him, but it is, why were we afflicted by him? Why were we afflicted by him? Because we deserve to be afflicted by him. So look in the mirror. That is important. Try to rectify your own affairs. Try to come to the masajid. Try to help your Muslim brothers and sisters. Even revive this little community. This is where it starts. This is where it starts. Try to come, try to work together, try to do something good for yourself, for your kids, for this masjid, for your community. This is where it starts. It is not enough to keep on blaming all others. You cannot keep on projecting blame on others and think that you have done your part. And you cannot go to protest or scream, which is fine. It's fine to show that we are concerned and we are angry, but this, it should not stop there. That is not doing your work. That's not doing your part. Absolutely not. اللهم ارنا الحق حقا وارزقنا اتباعه وارنا الباطل باطلا وارزقنا اجتنابه اللهم لا تسلط علينا بذنوبنا من لا يخافك ولا يرحمنا اللهم انك عفو تحب العفو فاعف عنا ربنا آت نفوسنا تقواها وزكها انت خير من زكاها انت وليها مولاها اللهم اعز الاسلام والمسلمين اللهم اعز الاسلام والمسلمين اللهم اعز الاسلام والمسلمين اللهم فرج عن اخواننا كربهم اللهم فرج عن اخواننا كربهم اللهم فرج عن اخواننا كربهم اللهم اربط على قلوبهم اللهم اربط على قلوبهم اللهم ثبتهم اللهم ثبت اقدامهم اللهم ثبت اقدامهم اللهم انصرهم على عدوك وعدوهم اللهم انصرهم على عدوك وعدوهم اللهم انصرهم على عدوك وعدوهم اللهم لا تشمت فيهم عدوا اللهم لا تشمت فيهم عدوا اللهم لا تشمت فيهم عدوا اللهم احفظ عوراتهم اللهم امن روعاتهم اللهم احفظ عوراتهم اللهم امن روعاتهم اللهم احفظهم من بين ايديهم ومن خلفهم وعن ايمانهم وعن شمائلهم ومن فوقهم ونعوذ بعظمتك ان يغتالوا من تحتهم واخر دعوانا ان الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على اشرف المرسلين واقم الصلاة ان الصلاة تنهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر ولذكر الله اكبر والله يعلم ما تصنعون.